Ian Castleberry joins us. Ian, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, Ian, I'm doing better than the Cubbies, who look just like the Bo Sox did and the Toronto Blue Jays, who, when they meet this pitching staff of Cleveland, they got nothing. They got four hits off Kluber. They did actually get two hits off of Miller, but when the bases loaded, he came through. And really, that was probably the most human Miller's looked in the postseason. Gave up two hits and two walks, but they still couldn't score a run.
Yeah, they, Corey Kluber was absolutely dominant. I don't think, had this been a regular season game, I don't think Terry Francona would have taken him out of the game, because he was just humming along so well. But with the possibility that he could pitch two more games in this series, and having a weapon like Andrew Miller in the bullpen, I think that's why Francona took him out when he did. Miller did look, you know, for him anyway, a little bit vulnerable. Maybe you know, that the workload is catching up with him a little bit. That's probably too early to say, but he's pitching a lot more innings than he's accustomed to. I saw him say to reporters that he was ready to go tonight. So we'll see if that's the case. But, you know, I think the one thing that was possibly going to prevent the Cubs from fulfilling these World Series expectations was running into an ace-level pitcher who could win, who could pitch and win two, three, maybe even, you know, if a situation where he appears in relief, two, maybe three games, and the Indians have that guy in Corey Kluber. But, you know, we'll see if, you know, Trevor Bauer, I think, is a curious choice to start game two tonight. You know, he was arguably the team's number four starter during the regular season. Here he is starting game two, coming off that rather serious finger injury that pulled him out of his last start during the ALCS. But Terry Francona has done a great job of managing his bullpen. You know, if the starter doesn't do well, if Trevor Bauer can only go two, three innings tonight, he's got the deepest bullpen, certainly of the two teams left here, and has shown an extreme amount of confidence in using those guys early in the game.
Well, Ian, Francona's got quite the luxury. We talk about Kluber. Yeah, he's into the seventh inning. I didn't see his pitch count, but I don't think it was remarkably high for going that distance. Now he's got the luxury, as you point out, of using him again. You know, then you get to the bullpen. The cliche is good pitching will beat good hitting. And it looks to me like the Indians have that formula down pat heading into game two.
And it's an amazing development here, because starting pitching looked to be the thing that was going to prevent the Indians from advancing in the postseason. You know, they lost Carlos Carrasco. They lost Danny Salazar. I certainly didn't think they would get past the Red Sox in the divisional series. I don't think I was in the minority there. But, again, Francona has managed his entire pitching staff so well, using his bullpen to reduce the burden on his starters. You know, Corey Kluber pitched six innings, went into the seventh. Most pitchers, you know, if you get six innings out of your starter during the postseason, you're kind of crossing your fingers for maybe the seventh and eighth innings, hoping you can get the game to your closer. But the Indians don't have that problem. I mean, Andrew Miller is their best reliever, and he's not their closer.
Yeah.
You know, he can pitch in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning. He can go more than one inning, which is a weapon that I'm not sure any other team in baseball really has, certainly none of the teams in the postseason. And then being able to turn it over to Cody Allen for the ninth inning, that's just, Francona is just using his bullpen masterfully here.
Ian Castleberry joins us, breaking down the World Series. Game two goes tonight. The Cubbies looking to avoid going 0-2 before heading back to Chicago. Last night, 15 strikeouts by the Chicago Cubs. You had six players with at least two. And really, when you look at it, if we go 1 through 9 in the order, only the number three spot with Rizzo and Zobrist at the number four, they're the only spots that didn't, well, they didn't strike out at all. And every other one had at least two strikeouts from that position. You know, We've seen Cleveland mowing down guys. People said, well, Toronto's not playing small ball. They're swinging wildly. Like, at some point, people got to start just giving credit to this pitching staff collectively, top to bottom in Cleveland, and say, man, it's not only they're hard to hit, they're hard to even make contact.
Yeah, Corey Kluber last night, I mean, his pitches move. You know, he's got that two-seamer, that cut fastball. The way he pitched Anthony Rizzo, tying him up inside, you know, a left-handed hitter standing on top of the plate against a right-handed pitcher, but Kluber's cut fastball just ran in on Rizzo's hands. He had no chance against those pitches. So it's not just that Corey Kluber, you know, he's not a guy who's going to throw 97 miles an hour, but his ball moves and opposing batters can't square up, can't get the fat part of the bat on that ball. But also, you know, he changes speeds and locations so well. You know, hitters don't know what's coming. They're guessing. You know, Kyle Schwarber did almost touch him up for a home run. That may have been the best swing the Cubs got against him all night. When Kluber is like that, I mean, you know, he is a former American League Cy Young Award winner. I think, you know, a pitcher like that who doesn't just bring pure heat could be more frustrating for a free-swinging team like the Cubs, as you pointed out.
So after a game like that, where you're either caught looking or caught chasing all those Ks, if you're in that Chicago clubhouse, this is an awful good ball club. It's one game, but the fact remains you don't want to go down 0-2. And when you're caught guessing like that, even if you're a good hitting club, how do you gather yourself, or do you just stick with your routine and believe that you're going to get your pitch at some point?
I think that is the approach they have to take. I mean, the Cubs, up until, you know, the last two, three games of the NLCS, have been struggling, and Joe Maddon's kind of had to tinker a little bit, you know, with the bottom half of his order, especially Jason Hayward sitting out again tonight, Jorge Soler getting the start. In right field, maybe providing a little bit more power, hopefully a little bit more contact. I think they're facing, they're not facing as good a pitcher as Kluber, but I do think the lineup that Joe Maddon has written out tonight, Wilson Contreras starting at catcher, Jorge Soler in right field, I think they have a chance to be a little bit better, make a little bit more contact than the Cubs were able to last night against Corey Kluber.
Yeah, Solera over Coughlin in right field, who had two strikeouts in both his at-bats, so I'm guessing that was kind of the easy one. Now, what's unique about, you know, the National League is, you know, they're used to switching their rosters out much more frequently, where, you know, Cleveland, now when they're winning, it's easy. They stick with the nine guys, and away they go. How much, if any, do you think that becomes a factor in this series? Does one team have a significantly better bench in your mind?
I think the Cubs going in had the better bench. I think typically you see in World Series matchups, the National League team has a better bench just because, you know, they're more accustomed to using it during the season, a pinch hitting for the pitchers, doing double switches. They get more out of their bench than a lot of American League teams. I think that is a luxury Joe Maddon has. I mean, you know, with Jason Hayward struggling as much as he has to bring in Jorge Soler, who would be a starting outfielder on most teams in Major League Baseball, being able to start Wilson Contreras at catcher after taking out David Ross, who's John Lester's kind of personal pitcher, but Contreras is a better offensive player anyway. So Maddon does like to mix and match a little bit, maybe sometimes too much, really. We'll see if that comes into play during this series. But I think Maddon has a lot more pieces to work with from his bench, in his lineup, than the Indians do.
Ian, how much of the external factors can filter into the clubhouse for the Cubs if this goes down 0-2? I mean, like I said, they're a good ball club. That speaks for itself. But, you know, it's the Cubs. It's the history. Are you able as a player to shut that out and just play baseball when you're wearing that uniform if you go down 0-2?
I don't think so, because it's the first question you get right after the game, leading up to the game, before the game. You know, they are carrying, you know, obviously these players didn't have much to do with all of that cursed history that the Cubs carry, but they have to deal with it. And I think that there comes a pressure with there was an interesting article on ESPN.com, I believe it was written by Jason Stark, how teams that finish with the best record in baseball, and the Cubs had more than 100 wins this season, I think a pressure comes with that as well. You're expected to win. The Cubs have been expected to win all season long, maybe even going back to last season. And I think even if they weren't carrying the history of that franchise, just by virtue of being the best team in baseball and not fulfilling those expectations, I think does place some more pressure on the Cubs. And if they do fall down 0-2, even going back to Wrigley Field, I mean, history certainly not on their side, but you're going to hear a lot more whispers about, you know, curses and goats and choke jobs and so forth. And I think that can be difficult to overcome.
Well, we'll see. Huge game tonight, Ian. You never want to go down 2-0 in the final of any championship. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the game.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys. Really enjoyed talking to you.